This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Weather's going to be beautiful. Get out and enjoy it no matter what you're doing. Eric Smith joins us now, our friend, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy. How you doing, professor?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, Tommy. How's everything?
Everything's good. I always like to know everybody's got a story. You a Mardi Gras guy or not?
Not a big one anymore. I sort of hit my peak in my 30s. So.
Did you? So last year, right?
Not quite.
Yeah.
Thank you for the compliment.
Did you ever ride or not? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, the last time I rode was in Rex, and I was as a guest substituting for my father-in-law, and I had a good time.
Good, but that
was kind of the peak of the riding activity.
You could have thrown me something. But
anyway. I could have. If I had known you, then I would have.
Okay, let's talk about what's going on with the price of oil and tariffs and oil prices and gas prices, because, you know, you educate me every time you come on, which I appreciate, because the first thing you taught me is that oil is not oil. It's easy to say drill, baby, drill, but not oil is created equal. They got different oil in different places. Some of it's easy to get, some of it's not easy to get. And then you got to get it refined in the gas prices. So there's a lot involved here, isn't there, Professor?
There is, and it's a pretty long and tortured supply chain.
I don't think it's well, it might be tortured in terms of the way it works, but I think people need to understand how this works so they don't take the bait and not do what you understand what I'm saying.
Well, people like those short sound bites,
yeah.
Whether they're in Alaska or Louisiana. But
whether it's true or not,
of the matter is it doesn't work quite that simply. And as you've pointed out, not oil is all equal. And unfortunately for us, and you can argue about why it's that way, but the fact of the matter is our refineries along the Gulf Coast, which are over half the U.S. capacity, are dependent on running heavy oil. The only oil we import right now is heavy oil, because we don't produce it in the United States in any quantity. So we have to import it. A lot of it was coming from Canada, and when you start putting, you know, heavy tariffs on Canadian imports, the whole North American regime sort of takes a hit. So that's we'll get to tariffs later. But right now, the important thing is that we need the heavy oil coming out of Canada, and we're going to end up being forced to pay more for it.
So if
as a result of tariffs.
And again, just to be clear, the oil company is not going to eat this tariff. They're going to pass it along to the consumer, accurate?
Exactly. And then it'll also negatively impact our ability to export refined products, which we've been doing for a long time, particularly diesel to Europe and diesel and gasoline to Latin America.
Yeah, talk about that. What we export, Professor, and do we do gasoline and diesel, or what do we export?
Yeah, we export all three. I mentioned diesel because the Europeans historically were big consumers of high quality diesel, and we actually imported gasoline into the New York area from Europe in sort of a reciprocal arrangement. So that's, of course, under threats with tariffs on Europe.
Now, wait. So we import gasoline even though we can produce all that we need here, or apparently we can't, or it's just more cost-effective?
We can certainly produce it. The problem is we have to ship it in Jones Act ships, and they are three times as expensive as using foreign flagships. So as a result, it's cheaper to import gasoline from Europe into New York and areas in the Northeast than it is to try and move it up from the Gulf Coast. We do have a couple of pipelines that run up and are always flat out full, but of course we aren't building new pipelines. So.
Oh, you're going to be sorry you said Jones Act ships, because now that's got me wondering, is that just certain areas of the country or certain countries? Where does that play coming?
Well, it's pretty serious issue. It comes from a man named Jones. He was a senator in 1920. And I think in Washington State, and he was upset because they were using foreign flag vessels to bring timber down from Alaska to San Francisco. So he wanted it to come from Washington. And so he used the excuse that this was right after World War One, that we needed our own ships and our own shipyards and our own seamen. So nobody could ship anything between ports in the United States unless it was U.S. built, U.S. flagged, U.S. owned, and U.S. crewed. That's the Jones Act.
So how does that relate to heavy oil and the refineries that we have and making our own gasoline?
Well, first of all, if it's coming from a foreign country by boat or pipeline or whatever, the Jones Act doesn't apply. But if it's coming from one U.S. location and going to another, you cannot use the less expensive foreign flag vessels to do it. So, for example, all of the supply boats you see in Louisiana, Louisiana's got 600 of them, I guess, something like that, the biggest fleet in the world. They're all Jones Act compliant vessels.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's Almaced.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And, we can't afford to use them anywhere else in the world because they cost so much. So that's a captive market.
And they cost so much, Professor, because of the fuel to use the ship?
No, not so much the fuel. It's the cost of building the ship and crewing it with American seamen.
Okay. So if it comes from a foreign country under a foreign flag, the Jones Act does not apply?
That's right. They can come in and deliver crude oil to us from Mexico or from Venezuela or from Saudi Arabia, Russia, wherever we're getting it.
And then we can refine our own gasoline. However, hang on a minute. Tariffs, right?
Yep.
I pick it up there. We come back. Thank you, Professor. I think I'm getting some of it. Eric Smith, our guest professor of Tulane's Institute of Energy. I don't know what the professor's current follicle situation is, but I know he had more hair before he started talking to me than he does now, because I make him pull some of it out. But we learned, damn it, and that's what it's all about. 820 Traffic Now, WWL. 825 Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Eric Smith, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy. It is how'd you say that, Professor, a long, complicated supply chain?
Yep, it's not. I thought we might want to cheer people up a little bit, but there are some things that are looking better, and one of those, of course, is electricity. And you know some of the story there already. Mm-hmm. what's going on is that you've got new demand for electricity. So we're talking about new co-located facilities. I guess the one that's been most in the news is the data centers up in North Louisiana and Central Louisiana. But these are massive facilities that are basically supporting AI and other forms of data center activity. And you need a lot of power. You need the equivalent of like a third of a nuke per plant to operate these things. So
let's get.
I suspect we'll get a lot of capital spending coming to Louisiana as a result of that.
Let's hope. Let's talk about tariffs, because somebody texted in. First of all, let me clean this up and said, when was the last time a refinery was built in the United States? But from what I'm hearing, the problem is not refinery capacity. It's the what was that oil that you said we needed?
The heavy oil.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a supply of heavy oil. We are using as much of the light oil as we can, which is what the U.S. is producing, and it's actually in surplus. We export light oil.
So
we can't use it all.
We are refining
a mixture of heavy and light, but when the light is running short, we just lose capacity because there's no way to substitute.
Maybe a better way to ask it is, are refineries running at full capacity?
They're running at full capacity, and they're optimized around the amount of heavy oil that they can get.
All right, let me phrase it a different way then. Would building any more refineries help anything at all?
Sure, it would help. It would, but you would be talking about billions of dollars per site, and you would be having to build refineries that are radically different than the ones we already have. It's not likely to happen anytime soon.
And that would be to refine the oil that we can drill, baby, drill here?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's talk about tariffs now and how all that's going to play out at the pump. Because, look, the supply chain is complicated. You worry about that, and rightfully so. That's what your life's work is about. For those of us who just go to the pump and say, what the hell's going on here, tell me how that plays out.
Well, the refining, as I said, is our refineries have been updated numerous times. Some of them are 100 years old, including Norco, for example, and PBF here in New Orleans. Those refineries have been updated. There's very little on the site that's 100 years old, but we don't have any new sites. And that's where the problem lies, is we have been essentially, I think, Edwin Edwards built the last new refinery. It was called Ecol, and it's now under another name. But it's very hard to get permits and to get a new refinery built from scratch. Plus, you need all the pipelines to support it. So permitting is one of those big issues that Congress keeps talking about, but they haven't done anything about yet.
Let's talk about pipelines and Jones Act, because somebody had a question about that. So Keystone Pipeline, if that... Where does that stand, Professor? Do we start building that again or not?
Well, if you're Canadian, you're not going to put your money into it. we've reversed ourselves four times, so they're not real happy with us from a financial standpoint.
How do you see this tariff thing playing out with oil prices and leading into the, and then you got the summer conversion and all this foolishness? I don't understand any of it. Tell me what's going to happen.
Well, I think we're going to continue to run our refineries and base that on how much heavy oil we can bring in. And to the degree we have to have tariffs involved, it'll cost us more. It's pretty straightforward. So it's not going to reduce the cost of gasoline at the pump. It may increase it.
So if you're going to look at Drill Baby Drill as a pipeline, the big clog in that pipeline is refineries. Is that an accurate way to put it?
Well, the refineries, of course, we can always import more gasoline from Europe, but then again, tariffs are going to impact that as well. So,
well, Professor,
and we won't have our Mercedes and VWs and Toyotas to put it in, because there'll be 25% tariffs on them as well, according to the president.
I got a 2014 CRV, got no plans to buy anything new, so I'm sitting pat. Professor, thank you so much for your time. Have a great Mardi Gras weekend. If not Mardi Gras, enjoy the weather, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. A pleasure as always. Eric Smith, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy. Quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director, about some Tigers baseball and ladies basketball and more when we return.